You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
This is episode 11 of the 7 Steps of Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. In this series, we've been talking to Jodie Gozard, formerly Jodie Chapman, a respected Australian naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, about her experience with the 7 steps to finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. This episode is all about understanding developmental brain frequencies. Jodie talks about brainwave patterns and how they can be learned or developed, how they can cause irregular dopamine or serotonin production, and ultimately lead to enhanced emotional distress. She also tells us how they can be retrained as a form of treatment. Welcome, Jodie. Let's start from the start. What are brainwave patterns? How are they measured? And is it true that brainwave patterns can cause irregular dopamine or serotonin production and ultimately lead to enhanced emotional distress?
So your brainwave patterns can actually affect a lot of production issues in the body. Obviously, your brain is controlling everything going on down here, but it goes both ways. So your biochemistry can also affect your brain. So when we're looking at brainwave patterns or brain frequencies, so you've heard of our frequencies are measured in hertz. Our brainwave patterns, when we measure them, are measured in different hertz ranges. So we've got our delta waves, our theta waves. They're the lowest brainwave frequencies, and these are normally produced when we're asleep. Then we've got our alpha waves, which we normally produce when we're in meditation state, which is why you hear people mentioning getting into alpha state. You know when, say, you go and get a massage and you're almost asleep but you're not asleep? That's your alpha waves. Or when you're falling asleep but you're not quite asleep yet and you feel like you're falling?
Yes.
You know that feeling everyone gets? So that's your alpha brainwave state. The next one above that, so your hertz ranges are getting higher. The next one is beta waves, and beta waves are our concentration and focus. So this is happening when we're awake, when we're focusing, when we're in school, when we're at work, when we're having a conversation, our beta waves are working nice and beautifully. And then you've got high beta waves, which are movement, muscle movement. So I guess if that makes it easier to understand, our brain wave patterns are measured and function within those different ranges. So when we have problems with our brain wave patterns, it might have come about because if, for instance, someone is born into a stressful environment, say an abusive environment where they're producing a lot of beta waves through anxiety, high stress, every day of their lives as a small child, as they're developing, they're going to be producing those high beta waves or those beta waves when they're trying to sleep or when they're trying to relax. They're not going to be able to get out of that state, and that's where they suffer with lifelong anxiety if it's not caused by nutritional deficiency or some other reason. So traumatic events, for instance, PTSD patients, they will produce the same kind of high anxiety type states. The interesting thing is it may not be global over the whole brain. It may be just one part of the brain that's behaving in this way, and it'll cause these ongoing emotions for someone, day or night, asleep or awake, it doesn't matter. They will constantly produce these brainwave patterns, and it will feel inescapable. So you can do so much to try to help from a biochemical perspective, but if you don't change those brainwave patterns, you're not going to get the result for that patient. And the beauty of it is that if you can retrain brainwave patterns, and there's plenty of ways to do that, you can then restore their brainwave patterns to a normal level for life. So it is one of those things that the research shows is a permanent thing when you use certain therapies to restore brainwave patterns. In the past, and for thousands of years, people have used meditation. So meditation actually controls brainwave patterns. That's what you're actually doing. But there are now easier ways for people who don't have time for meditation or can't seem to get into that meditative state where they can access the parts of their brains that they need to, which I can explain in a minute. So if we look at why it comes out of balance in the first place, for some people they're born into a traumatic experience. For some people they experience something traumatic through their life. for some people, they might be exposed to alcoholism or chronic drug use, and that will change their brainwave patterns permanently into a more dulled state, or they might be trying to overcome anxiety, so they'll drink a lot of alcohol or they'll use a lot of marijuana, for instance, to try to overcome the anxiety. However, they're now so daily in that brainwave patterns that is dulling that they then lose their concentration, their memory, and these different types of things. So self-medicating can then throw you the other way. So it's, you know, you've got to be very careful. The other way that you can throw out your brain wave patterns is if you are born with the genes again. You know, so if you're born with pyroluria, people with pyroluria have low zinc and B6, so they don't have the ability to make their brain neurotransmitters from birth. So they suffer a lot of high anxiety and sensitivity and nervousness, and they're not making enough GABA, so they can't stay calm. Because this has been a lifelong thing, in the first, say, up to 7 years, you learn more quickly in that period of time than after that period of time. And if you, in your developmental years, you've been exposed to not enough zinc and B6 or other nutrients that make you GABA for calming, that make you serotonin for positivity, that make you dopamine for energy and joy and motivation and drive, you will then produce brainwave patterns that are unable to make those things properly as time goes on. Your brain learns to not be able to do it. So then once you start the supplementation, sometimes the second the patient stops the supplementation, even though they might have gotten the condition into the right zone, the brainwave patterns want to go back to what it knows, and it will change again and bring the patient back into that highly anxious state or highly ADD type state, unable to concentrate, unable to think properly, unable to focus. One of the other issues that we see is if someone picks up streptococcus or is born with streptococcus, you can have a couple of situations. I think we might have touched on it in a previous podcast, where if the mother has streptococcus during a vaginal birth, you will then have the child born with some streptococcus.
Yeah, they test that now as a regular thing, don't they, in pregnancies?
Yes.
The strep B, is that the one?
Yes. So if a baby is born with streptococcus, their brainwave patterns, because strep and enterococcus and staphylococcus produce D-lactic acid, which is a nerve toxin, it will cause those learning disorders from birth. You've got to be very careful to understand that it is a bacteria causing it and not an issue with the brain, you know, that may be irreversible if it's autism or something like this, as opposed to it's a reaction to a bacteria. Now, the thing is that you can remove the bacteria once you identify that the child has been carrying it for the last 5 or 6 years. However, now the brainwave patterns have developed during the time that the child has been foggy and distracted and unable to concentrate, and ADHD and all of these things that strep can cause. So once you remove the bacteria, once you then replenish the brain nutrients to get the brain chemicals right, then you go to doing the neurotherapy, which is retraining the brainwave patterns, and you can restore normality, and that has been shown to be permanent in the studies. So it's about 89% successful the last time I saw research on that collectively, compared to medication, which can be only about 12% successful. So it really is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's a super important thing to be looking at when you've got someone with long-term problems. Yeah, so brainwave patterns. For instance, we talked about high beta or beta brainwave patterns, which is high anxiety states. If you produce a lot of alpha waves while you're awake, or high theta or delta while you're awake, you tend to have symptoms of more ADD, where you're unable to focus or concentrate or stay listening to something or be able to complete something properly. So you can have problems with, you know, being able to absorb information, as opposed to the opposite, where while you're absorbing information, you're absorbing it from everywhere all at once, plus you're suffering with high anxiety to go with it. So some can cause high anxiety, some brainwave patterns can cause depression. Some can cause fatigue. I had one patient just recently who we were treating for lifelong anxiety. So she had pyroluria. She came to me in her 40s. She was an extreme introvert and for many years barely left the house, felt much safer at home. and, you know, created a life around that, has a family, has beautiful children, has a great career, but she's learned how to do it all from home. So, you know, wanted to eventually get over the anxiety and deal with it once and for all. So we went through the process of, are you carrying bacteria? Have you developed food allergies? What genes do you have? Ah, we found some gene mutations. And still after getting a lot of those things right, we still found that this anxiety was there. But remember, she grew up with this. This is all her brain knows. So we started to do the neurotherapy, and within about 3 to 6 months, the anxiety reduced so much that she was able to start going out to dinner with other couples and socialize and leave the house without feeling like she had to take something to calm her anxiety. But she said something really interesting, was that a type of fatigue that she'd always felt lifted, and her energy was much higher too. So, you know, it gave me the information, I guess, the feedback that the brainwave patterns create all sorts of things, not just mood and energy, but all sorts of biological functions. And if you've got these balanced properly, then you can have a much better health. So people with dementia, people with memory loss, all of these things you can use neurotherapy retraining brainwave patterns for. The most important thing I tell people, and, you know, I'm talking about people with chronic addictions, that addictive tendencies, you know, they constantly fall back into it and have difficulty breaking that. Neurotherapy deals with all of this. We see improvements. There has been studies on bipolar and other different, you know, psychological disorders that have been through the family. So there's many different things. Anger, inability to deal with anger, PTSD, as I mentioned before, sugar cravings, impulsive control problems, oppositional disorder, or OCD type problems, all of this neurotherapy can help. So these are things that we've learned, you know, we've learned along the way from other biochemical problems being in our system. But one of the most important things that I can say about this process, though, is that it's very important, I believe, to get a QEEG done. It is a unique test that records your brainwave patterns for up to 5 minutes or so. That data gets analysed. We can identify then exactly the pattern or the place on the brain. So you've got your prefrontal area, you've got then the frontal area, you've got the central area, and then, you know, past the centre of getting towards the back of your crown of your head, you've got the parietal area, and then at the back of your head, you've got your occipital areas, and then you've got the temporal lobes on both sides, just above your ears there.
I can picture the test. Is it when they have they put little stickers and those wires? My daughter had to have one when she was little.
Yeah. So when they do that, and they do that in lots of medical facilities, so we do it in our centre as well. And what we do is you place some gel into the electrode and it picks up the brainwave signal. You can hear the brainwave pattern in a recording about 1 or 2 mil outside of the skull. So they have an electrode that will pick up the current, and they use electrode gel to amplify that current so that a computer can read that current. So we're reading 24 different places on the brain, and we're recording that and getting that analysed. And you might find that the temporal lobe behind the ear affects a certain set of behaviours. The rest of the brain is behaving normally, but that part of the brain is having difficulty, and it's outside of the normal range by 1, 2, 3 standard deviations away from normal. And that's why that patient might be getting recurring emotional problems or recurring physical signs of illness or recurring things like addiction or bipolar, hallucinations, or these different kinds of things. So it's so unique to everybody where their damage is. So some people have had head injuries that can be repaired through retraining the brainwave patterns who've been damaged at that area. We touched a little bit on a little girl that I have recently spoken to, her mum, whose brain was affected by a virus, and now looking at the benefits of using neurotherapy to retrain the brainwave patterns there that were damaged by a virus. So yeah, there's so many things that can be looked at there. It is just one of those things that it's very important that you get a unique QEEG test for yourself and identify the exact area of your brain that you need training on, and your neurotherapy is targeted to that.
So we've touched on reading those brainwaves and working out the problem, but what's actually involved in the therapy itself?
Oh, see, this is one of the most amazing things because you can do this for children as young as 5 years old and oppositional children at 5 years old, for that matter, which can be, you know, seem really daunting. I actually had a little Tourette's girl at 5 years old that I was treating quite a number of years ago, and within the first 30 sessions of neurotherapy training, it settled down incredibly. It was amazing.
Wow.
So how it works is biofeedback. The neurotherapy does not send something to your brain. Now, this is the interesting thing, is a lot of people think that it's a current going into your brain. It's the opposite.
You get that mental picture of that blue and grey-ish screen and in the 1950s when they put things on people's heads.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No, it's not. So is electric shock therapy type treatment that is being used for almost the same symptoms and problems. Mm-hmm. However, there can be a problem with memory for that matter. But we get the same results but no memory loss, if anything, memory improvements. Oh, wow. So how it works is when you can see what your brain is doing, you can control it. So it's producing new neural pathways. So if you can imagine when you're a little kid and you're learning to throw a ball at a target, it takes practice to get to be able to hit that target, right? And if you keep practicing, you'll get good at it. And if you stop practicing, you won't get good at it. So when you start off trying to throw a ball, you pick up the ball, you put your arm behind your back, and you go to throw the ball, you might let the ball go before it's past your shoulder and the ball falls behind you when you first try. You realize that, your brain says, okay, hold it a little bit longer and I'll throw it or let it go, release it when my arm gets to that position. And then, you know, you might get closer to the target and you keep practicing that until eventually you hit the target. This is biofeedback. You're getting a result from learning something and creating neural pathways to make it better. Now, neurotherapy is exactly that, and it uses reward. So a lot of neurotherapy type programs will reward with mental stimulation, games or movies, where once we know the area of the brain that needs the work, we can place an electrode on either one point where the problem might be created from damage there or changes in brainwave patterns outside of the normal range, or you can improve connectivity of function where problem-solving skills are improved, coherence, where different parts of the brain may not be talking to each other, or they may be talking to each other too much, causing, you know, confusion. So you find people who can't problem solve, maybe that different parts of the brain just do not communicate with each other. In that case, you can use an electrode in each area, and the goal is to improve the connection between them or the communication between them. So you have a program that's designed for you to reward you once you hit the target. So you have on your screen, so the software for it is fantastic, that you have on the screen the response to the electrode that's attached to your head, and it sends the signal that it picks up to the computer, and it shows you a graph which goes up and down with your concentration. You see it going up and down as you're going into concentration and out of concentration. So when you're first setting it up, even during the talking process, you see it going up and down. And you might have one or two jobs that you need to do to correct your brainwave pattern. So say you're producing too much theta, which is making you brain foggy, and too much beta, which is making you anxious. And your job for that same part of the brain is to bring down both of them. Or you might have not enough concentration or very low beta, so you can't concentrate, and high theta making you foggy. So your job then is to raise your beta and lower your theta. And you'll get a column for each one, but it's from the same position. And you get rewarded the minute your brain gets it into the right zone more than a certain percentage amount of time, you get rewarded. So say the target is set at, say, 75%. We want to get you practicing that and hitting that target 75% of the time, and then you'll be rewarded. And a movie or some sort of media will be set up that will then start to play as soon as your brainwave patterns hit those right zones. And then it only takes about two or three goes for your brain to be rewarded enough times to recognize where you're getting it right. And it starts to happen. It can be very frustrating, especially for teenagers or adults when they think that they can do something physically when your brain just starts to pick it up. So the first couple of goes is a little bit tricky, but after that you start, it starts to become quite easy, and you sit there and you watch a movie or you know, some sort of stimuli for 40 minutes. So a movie is great because three sessions gives you a whole movie. You might do three sessions a week at 40 minutes each, and that will give you one movie a week. 30 sessions makes an area permanently improved. You have practiced that area enough times to hold the results. So that's what the studies say. So after 30 sessions, you do a follow-up QEG and you then have a look at the changes and if there's any other areas that need tweaking or need more work, and then you might do a second set of 30 sessions. So I've seen incredible success at 60 sessions, incredible success with children that have been so destructive that they have not been able to attend class because they're distracting all of the other kids. They're at home, they're damaging things, they're stealing things from their parents, they're, you know, causing a lot of havoc, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And then you put them through sessions of neurotherapy and all of a sudden they're a completely changed child. And most of it came from the fact that they were having so much difficulty concentrating and focusing at school that they could not do the work and they were humiliated. Kids won't tell you that. They don't know even the words to say, I'm embarrassed because I can't concentrate and I can't take in what the teacher's saying. So instead, I go and create distractions somewhere else and, you know, it gets me out of hot water with the learning part. And, you know, they use those kinds of tools when they're not coping in life and their stress levels are too high, when they don't have the language to be able to explain it, and you improve their learning and all of a sudden, you know, their world opens up to them and they start being interested and focused on the things that they would normally be doing. So, yeah, you just see these incredible changes. I've seen a woman who was completely agoraphobic and had been in an abusive relationship for many, many years, an abusive marriage, and came out of that relationship completely agoraphobic and couldn't leave home, was highly educated academic with multiple degrees. And when she did neurotherapy, it changed how she was able to cope. She suffered depression and anxiety at the same time. It seemed to be the first area resolved the anxiety completely. The second area, the second set of 30 sessions that we did, completely resolved the depression. The next thing, I'm going to a conference to learn something, and there she is at the same conference, and she decided to take up naturopathy.
That's awesome.
I know. It was absolutely amazing. And she was out with PTs, getting fit again and doing all these things that she'd never done and, you know, just starting to have a life again, changing her brainwave patterns. So it can be so powerful. It's probably one of the most powerful things that I've seen to top off the biochemical correction that we do in making sure everything else is working really well.
It must be so fulfilling for you to see that change in a person's life.
No, absolutely. It's why I do what I do. You know, you don't want to be doing something where you don't have a purpose. It's disappointing for me to know that there are people out there who need these kinds of things and they don't know it exists because it's so hard to find.
And that would be all too common, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. Incredibly common. Yeah.
Well, Jodie, that's all we've got time for today's episode. But thank you so much for your time today.
In the next episode of the 7 Steps of Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series, Jodie tells us about gene mutation combinations and the MTHFR gene. She discusses what symptoms the various gene mutation combinations can cause and what sort of treatment can help alleviate those symptoms. If while listening you've heard something that's piqued your interest and have an urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via the clinic at advancewellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.